our electoral system might be prone to giving us a divided government, but Ukraine's system right now is literally broken, split into two parts. Pro-Russian separatists just staged their own elections this past weekend, 2 weeks after the rest of the country voted in a pro-European government. Oleksiy Solohubenko is one of the top Ukraine experts with the BBC, and he joins us from London. What exactly was this latest ballot for, Oleksiy, to make Eastern Ukrainians feel good about themselves, or does it actually have real meaning?
It wasn't a real ballot. It was a fake election with bogus electoral papers run by the pro-Russian separatists, observed by very, very obscure observers who came out of nowhere. So it wasn't the real thing. Therefore, I think when you're talking about the election of two parts, I think on the 26th of October, there was election to the Ukrainian parliament, which was messy, but more or less clean. Mm. This one is not the real thing in terms of election, but in terms of impact, it's very, very real, because certainly it creates, whether you want to use the word frozen conflict in eastern Ukraine, or a potential bridgehead for greater Russian involvement with the pro-Russian forces there. It's very, very dangerous, and it creates another zone of instability through what is described as electoral process, which hardly is.
Mm, so whether legitimate or not, Moscow is happy about what happened this weekend.
Moscow is happy, but it is caveating its answers, or rather its reaction, in a very, very interesting kind of turn of phrase, which Kremlinologists would find very amusing. They say that they respect the will of the people, but they do not explicitly recognize the independence of these two republics, of the Donetsk People's Republics and the Luhansk People's Republic. So, in a sense, what they're saying is that, you know, there has been a vote. It's something that we acknowledge. We respect that people had the opportunity to vote, and now Kiev has to negotiate with the leaders who have this stamp of legitimacy.
Right, and the new government in Kiev of President Petro Poroshenko says this vote was a farce, but is that him shrugging his shoulders and saying whatever, or is that him expressing actually some real concern?
I think he expresses real concern because he understands that without Moscow's support, you know, this would have been a real farce. But, I mean, it's kind of a quasi-farce now because this reaction from the Russian Federation. And he also understands that militarily it's very, very difficult for him to operate in that area. The Ukrainian forces were on the offensive and were squeezing the rebels really very, very hard until Russia rendered substantial military assistance, very much showing to President Poroshenko that he cannot win militarily with the Russian involvement, with Russian participation. Yesterday, there were reports of very, very substantial columns of hardware, of military trucks moving in the direction of Donetsk. That was witnessed by a BBC reporter there, by other British and other Western correspondents. So the military presence on the ground creates this very, very difficult situation for the Ukrainian authorities. Politically, they want to negotiate, but they're negotiating from the position of weakness rather than strength.
So what does this vote actually mean for the ceasefire that has been holding, though just barely, for the last couple of months?
It's hard to say because the Minsk Accords, the ceasefire that was signed on the 5th of September in Minsk, the capital of Belarus, it envisaged some kind of political electoral process in eastern Ukraine, but under different conditions. Now, one of the leaders of Luhansk People's Republic already told Russian television today that the joining of Russia is only a matter of time. So I think the masks are off, and I think very, very soon we'll have the announcements from the leaders of the two rebel areas saying they want to join Russia, as happened in the Crimea earlier in the year.
Our colleague at the BBC, Oleksiy Solohubenko, speaking with me from London. Thank you.
My pleasure.